You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
At 8:06 in the morning on this Thursday, July 17th, welcome back. Nice to have you here up north. We've got Parker Olson producing this fine program out of Madison Studio 2A. Or is it A2? It's A2. Yeah, A2.
A2, don't say 2A.
There we go. And then, of course, we'll talk to Chad Holmes from 98.9 WXCO in Wausau and meteorologist Brittany Merlot. All coming up, but first, I've got to give an update. In the middle of the night, shortly before waking up, I heard a clatter, and I was fearful of, like, I don't know, home invasion or, you know, the ICE was coming to get me, whatever the case may be. It took a while, but I finally discovered what it was, Parker.
Yeah?
These lights above the shelf.
What do you mean, those lights?
These, they fell again.
They're lights. They're
like these four little lamps, and IKEA sends them, because, you know, I only go for the best, IKEA. They send them along with either adhesive, a little piece of tape, or these little tiny screws. I don't know how these big old Scandinavians with their lumberjack hands have these teeny tiny screws, but I thought, I don't want to monkey with the little
great
tiny
motor
screws.
Skills.
So I use the little adhesive strips that come with it. Which don't work, because those lights have come down. These damn lights have come down a couple of times now. And do you know what's holding them up right now?
Oh, weights?
A big old strip of duct tape.
Nice.
Yes.
I like
it. I do not need your teeny tiny. I'm not going to monkey with the teeny tiny screws. Oh. You got to drill the whole pilot hole and all that. So people who were hoping, because we talked about this before, like, wouldn't it be great if those lights came down, like, live on air?
Yes.
No, they came down at 4 in the morning, and hopefully not on air. But I wanted to thank the sponsor of this hour's program, Duct Tape.
Duct Tape.
For putting it, that is how the Lake Wissota studio is put together, with duct tape. So, having gotten the housekeeping out of the way, quite literally, let's get an update on the forecast one last time with Brittany Merlot. And I say one last time, because every year ahead of EAA, we're always fearful that this is goodbye, that one of these times she's going to hop on a plane and she's just going to say, I am off to fly around the world. There are going to be two Goodyear blimps at the EAA this year. Who's to say she doesn't end up as one of those, like out of the movie Up, she'll be exploring, you know, someplace in South America before we know it. Brittany, please don't run away. Please don't. Okay.
I won't try to, but I am trying to get in that blimp, let me tell you. So I'm hoping
for
a video of that.
Yeah. But you're thinking it might be wet next week for this.
I am. So I am gearing up my tent. I'm going to be in a tent on the ground all week long, living through all the rain and the storms that are going to be headed our way next week. So I am getting the metal stakes. I'm getting plenty of reinforcement, a lot of stuff to help waterproof that, because I'm going to be in the thick of it. But we were in the thick of it yesterday. That
yes.
was wild. It all started around noon, lasting through about 5 or 6 o'clock, even a little bit later on the east side. 5 to 7 different tornadoes possible. The National Weather Service is out there surveying that area, bunch of areas over today and tomorrow. We'll come back with all of those updates later on today, probably. And of course, we are looking at much calmer conditions right now. It feels like fall across the state. Refreshing out there. Temperatures are in the upper 40s to mid 60s right now. A lot more cloud cover down south. There is some sunshine in parts of central Wisconsin and far northwest. It will become sunny statewide today. Gradually, those clouds will clear. Highs only in the upper 60s to low 70s. Enjoy it, because we do get a little bit warmer tomorrow, mid to upper 70s, and then we'll flirt with about 80 degrees as we go into the weekend. Now, we're staying dry today, most of tomorrow, but rain does start to spark up far northwest by the afternoon, and it wants to slide through the rest of the state into the evening and through the overnight. No severe weather. No worries there, but extra rain. We've got flooding ongoing, especially into places of the Fox Valley, so every drop adds to it. Keep an eye on those rivers and streams, especially as we go through the weekend. More showers and storms are expected early Saturday, then possibly Sunday far south in the state. And then, like we said, next week is pretty active, and I'll be out there keeping you updated as well.
I bet you will. Okay, well, if anybody can rough it properly, it is you. Alicia puts on YouTube, I see you're saying bring umbrellas to the EAA. It also says... Poncho would probably be better. Yeah, she says that's how equipment in the military was put together, duct tape and well wishes.
Exactly.
And from Colleen, OMG, what a great group. And talking about Jane and Todd joining us, Chris Hambuck Boyle says, love Butternut, amazing rural public school district up there. So we appreciate everybody that's staying in touch with us. Brittany, enjoy the day off tomorrow to get ready for it all. And we'll look forward to hearing from you from the EAA next week, we hope.
Sounds good. I can't wait. Have a good weekend.
All right. We'll check in with Chad Holmes in just a moment as well. I just want to keep checking through the mailbag. Alicia says, yes, call your legislators about funding the programs for homeless veterans and for child care. Excuse me while I cough for a second. Sorry about that. All right. And Corinne Hendrickson puts on YouTube about Republican math not being real math and not fully accounting for anything. And says of Senator Smith's comments, we got less than 25% for the monthly program that keeps tuition stabilized and our programs open. So let's bring in Chad Holmes now, where I'm sure up by you in the Wausau area, you are hearing as well as I am about it's not just what was in the budget, but what was not in the budget. And as I said yesterday, I want to make clear, we are not... When we say it was a very bipartisan budget and, you know, people from both sides don't like things about it, so it must be a good budget, that doesn't mean it was a good budget. We're just stating what it is that there were things that people liked and hated about it. It was still overall a flawed process.
Man, I mean, you kind of hit it on the head, and I'm we have not discussed what we're going to be talking about today, but in fact, that's what I've been kind of thinking about, and partly because of the folks that you've been talking to the last couple of days. It really is, and I've been going back, you know, and I, you know, in terms of I really not to get on the bandwagon of calling you a senator like some of your colleagues, but at the same time, you've been there, and I think back to what you've been talking about, not just this week, but over the last number of months, and you've been talking about the fact that hey, there is a lot of opportunity to be a bipartisan budget, that there is a lot available in order to have as close to a win-win as possible. And that would be in a bipartisan way. But at the same time, there is also in a bipartisan way a chance to be a pseudo loss, pseudo win, or whatever you want to call it. And I just think that as we talk about a lot of these specific issues, and again, I just think that's a couple of the guests you've had this week have been right on the head on it, that it shows again, I think, the difficulty of the job that especially those on the Democratic side have right now, and I'll include the governor in this as well, when you have, I think, a Republican Party that is so laser focused on one area, and that is tax cuts for the wealthy, that a certain amount has to go there, and that they have these philosophical beliefs in not spending more money in even areas that have been proven time and time again that we do need additional funding for it. And I just think that the more that we're finding out about this, that yes, there are certain areas that got bumps, but boy, at this time, over the last number of years, with the surplus, with the opportunity to try to really make a difference in not just in people's lives generally, but in certain businesses. When you talk about one of your guests just in the last hour calling former provider or soon to be former provider, there is something wrong here. And I just think it's not just Wisconsin Republicans we're hearing again. I mean, the idea of gutting public broadcasting, and especially for rural areas, that we're going to see so many signals close down. And we talk here in this part of the state so often about, you know, broadband access. And I think you can say that it's a similar idea as, say, public broadcasting or broadcasting in any way to bring information to people, to bring certain aspects of life to them. And it's all about this philosophical belief that no government is the best government. And boy, we are in a very difficult spot right now where I do think that the Democrats in the state legislature and the governor were able to do some good things. But boy, I think you're making so many great examples of where we have so many shortfalls and so much room to still grow, to truly get to a point that a great majority of the people are getting what they need from their government.
Yeah. In terms of the, when you mentioned public broadcasting and the support for that and people who want, you know, virtually no government, what it is that they want is authoritarian government. And there's been news coverage about, you know, what the Trump administration really wants here. And what they want from American radio and TV stations is what they've done overseas with Voice of America, where they have fired tons of people. And a lot of the programming has been replaced with propaganda from the One American Network. All this pro-Trump propaganda that is now being put out, you know, by Voice of America. So that when you see them pressuring Paramount to settle over a report on 60 Minutes, when you see ABC settling, and when you see other big media companies settling out of corporate interests, it only takes us one step closer to going to those networks and then taking over, you know, what was public radio, public TV, and again, turning them into propaganda arms. And for anybody that would say that that is hyperbole, you're not watching what has happened in other places, and you're not watching what's happening on the ground right now. And it is, again, just to toot our own horn, there's never been a more important time for independent entities like a Civic Media, like a Courier Newsroom, like an Up North News, and voices, local voices like yours, to be around. There are local voices in Wausau that are, you know, rather sycophantic with, you know, whatever it is that you know Trump wants, hardly in the best interest of the Wausau community. And so, you know, everything that you just said needs to be said and then some on stations like 98.9 in Wausau.
And again, and I know some people disagree with me, but man, when you, I say all the time, this idea of a liberal media is the biggest lie that I think I've ever heard in my life. I mean, when you think about the voices that are out there, and again, I think you hit it on the head when it comes to what the right wants when it comes to the media, this totally right in line. I want to hear the examples again of where Big Bird and Mr. Rogers have been touting the left-wing propaganda. Because that's what they seem to say, that it's just been a propaganda arm of the left-wing, when that is so far from the truth. It's exhausting to try to fight back against those kind of statements, because when you look at radio around the country, when you look at cable television, I mean, the so-called liberal cable television has so many former Republicans on their airwaves, that's considered liberal.
Well, look, it goes way back to that iconic episode of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, where there was a local, I forget if it was a police officer or a postman.
Police officer.
And a black man who, it was a hot day, and they said, well, let's both soak our feet in this kiddie pool. It was groundbreaking, because back then, you know, black children were not allowed to swim in the municipal pool if there were white kids in there. And it's only grown from there that somehow the liberal value is to be against racism, sexism, you know, misogyny, religious discrimination. And if that's what the right wants to be in this day and age, then go ahead. But, you know, unfortunately, they're winning too many elections with messages of fear because they're allowed to bring all this money into it. And
Mr. Rogers was a lifetime Republican, by the way. Just last month, and I encourage you folks, go onto YouTube. Won't You Be My Neighbor is available on YouTube. I watched it again last month, and I had tears in my eyes because, again,
the kind of Republican who wants to govern, still be frugal, but wants to govern rather than rule. Chad Holmes from 98.9 WXCO. Thank you, buddy. Talk to you later. We'll be back with more after this. A local update is next for some of you. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Well, tomorrow is Friday. You know what that means. We'll be hearing from Courier Newsroom national correspondent Kia Vakil. We'll have our Week in Review panel with former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, along with veteran journalists Jennifer Schulze and Mark Jacob. Dr. Kristen Lyerly will join us. Mike Clemens will be talking about sports. Might even have Todd Alba check in again. Make sure you got the Hayward okay, because today, again, his show and Jane and Greg's show are up in the Butternut Park Falls area, and then tomorrow they will be in the Hayward area. 8:23 right now. Let's talk about your money and the markets, and let's bring in Sean O'Malley to do that. Sean, how are you this morning?
Good morning, Pat. I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Doing okay myself here, but you know, as we look at the economic news here, and we're going to talk a bit about inflation and foreclosures and things like that, but mm-hmm. let us start with we talk about the trade wars and the beating yes. that U.S. reputation is taking overseas. And one mm-hmm. of the ways it is becoming manifest is the U.S. dollar not being seen as the safe haven that it used to be in terms of currency. Now, we've talked about that in terms of, you know, treasuries, you know, treasury bills and bonds and things like that. But the mm-hmm. dollar itself has always been king. Well, I mean, not always, but for, you know, for a long, long time. And that is there are indications that we're starting to slip off that pedestal. Tell us more.
Yeah, that's right, Pat. So historically, you're absolutely correct. The U.S. dollar has largely been regarded as sort of the global currency, the world's currency, if you will, because nearly everything that is traded on any sort of financial market, particularly with respect to commodities, notably oil, gas, gold, those sort of things, are all quoted in U.S. dollars. So it is really considered the currency to go through to transact in virtually any way. But what we're seeing now is something that has not reared its head before. Usually what happens when volatility goes up, and there's actually a measure, an index that's used to measure stock market volatility. It's called the VIX index, V-I-X. And traditionally what happens is when that volatility goes up, the demand for the dollar also goes up. What we're seeing now is a dislocation with that. We're seeing now that that trend has actually reversed itself. So when volatility, when the VIX goes up, demand for the dollar actually goes down. So what that tells us is that, you know, the smart money is saying the U.S. dollar is no longer the safe haven reserve currency out there. And that's a bit shocking. I think this is one of the ways that we're seeing some of the, you know, undesirable effects of this tariff and trade war manifesting itself in, you know, negative ways in terms of the U.S. economy.
There's also this headline from the New York Times this morning. Trump wants lower interest rates. Firing Jerome Powell could push them higher because investors, not the Fed, control interest rates that matter most to businesses and consumers, the Times says. They might demand higher returns if the central bank's independence comes into question. So let's break this down. You had President Trump yesterday and for months now talking about wanting to fire Jerome Powell and yesterday saying, I can't believe this guy even got appointed in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Which is odd. And complaining about the budget
yeah.
for the Federal Reserve and everything else.
Was it Here's not Donald Trump who appointed Jerome Powell?
Yeah,
Donald place?
Trump who appointed him, and yeah, exactly.
All right, just setting that up. All right, good. So
yeah,
anyway,
no, I mean, we've mentioned it before. He was put in during, you know, Trump 1.0.
I guess he forgot.
And now suddenly he's the wrong guy.
Yeah, suddenly because he's not going along. So basically, tell us why, make the case for Team Powell or Team Independence rather than just whatever Trump wants interest rates to be.
Sure. Well, the Fed has two objectives primarily, okay? They want to keep employment as full as possible, okay? And they want to keep inflation under control. So those are their two objectives. Now, normally, they are objectives that can be accomplished relatively easily by changing the short-term interest rates. Remember, the Fed Open Market Committee, the FOMC, only controls the short-term interest rates. The benchmark 10-year Treasury note, that's set by the market, okay? I mean, the Fed can want it to be something, but it's going to be, as you point out, whatever it's going to be. That's going to be up to investors. So what we're seeing now is that there's been the sort of competing or contrasting challenges with inflation going up, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute, and concerns that unemployment due to the trade war could also go up, and we could have GDP going down, which is sort of the really bad stagflation situation, which we do not want. But that's what the Fed is basically trying to do. They're trying to balance, you know, employment and inflation. And they do not control what happens to the benchmark 10-year, which is really where most of the valuations for long-term assets derive their values, because that's considered the risk-free rate to discount those cash flows at.
Do you feel like after some of yesterday's pushback that do you feel like Trump is now going to ramp down that talk of trying to fire Powell? He'll still complain about it, but was yesterday kind of the as close as he got to trying to fire him?
Well, he can't actually fire him.
Right.
That's number one.
Yeah.
He's appointed. He can resign, but they are completely independent. Powell himself has come out and said, you know, I do not serve at the pleasure of the president. Basically, you can't fire me, which is completely accurate, constitutionally correct. And yes, even if at the end of his term, which is next year, Trump wants to go with someone different than Powell, the concern is that regardless of what they do, or particularly if we look even weaker, I mean, we look weak already, which is why we're seeing the dollar, you know, no longer be the safe haven currency. But if we look, if we lose our independence of the Federal Reserve, I think we have real problems then.
The opening bell is next on Wall Street. We'll check in a little bit more with Sean O'Malley. We'll talk about inflation and then pivot right after that to talk to Joe Specky about some of the political goings-on of this week. It all happens here on these mornings, powered by Up North News. Look for us at upnorthnewswi.com, our website, our newsletter, and on social media. And, of course, mornings here on the Civic Media Radio Network. The All-Star break is just about over. The Milwaukee Brewers are on the West Coast. They'll be taking on the Los Angeles Dodgers starting tomorrow night. Coverage begins at 8:35 p.m. on several Civic Media stations. And, of course, tomorrow is also Free Ticket Friday. Your chance tomorrow to use that Civic Media app. Text us a keyword that we're going to give you, a different word several times throughout the day. Put you in the running for four great club-level seats to American Family Field to watch a specific Brewers game. So to find out what game it's for and what the keyword is, tune in tomorrow on these mornings powered by Up North News here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Let's see here. Let's go first to Sean O'Malley, then Joe Zepecki. Sean with us to talk about your money in the markets. The markets have opened up slightly higher this morning, but inflation has also increased slightly, Sean, since last we checked.
Yes, indeed, Pat. We've seen the June number come in for inflation, and it was 2.4% in May. It's gone up to 2.7% in June. So a pretty significant jump. I mean, yes, still low overall, but 0.3% is pretty big change. We're used to seeing, yeah, you know, usually 1/10, maybe 2. 3 is a pretty significant move. So it's kind of, you know, stay tuned.
All right. And then foreclosures and bankruptcies, another indication of where we're at with the economy.
Yeah, well, I wanted to look sort of as a follow-up to our earlier conversation with respect to tariffs and how that might be impacting agriculture in particular. And one of the things we've seen is nationwide, the farm bankruptcies have basically in first quarter of 2025, they have surpassed all of 2024.
Whoa.
Nationwide. Here in Wisconsin, sort of a year-to-date measure, we're up about 70% 2025 versus the comparable period in 2024. So we are seeing impacts to a lot of farms in terms of profitability. Some of the things that have been mentioned are increased fuel prices and raw material inputs like fertilizer. So remember our discussion about potash being primarily from Canada, and now with tariffs, that's going up. Also with the counter tariffs, the demand for agricultural goods has dropped. So therefore prices have dropped. So they're making less money there on the farm side. And there's just this general trade and economic uncertainty that's still pervasive in the marketplace. And it's just causing a lot of problems, not the least of which is the stock market, but also in terms of what's happening with farms.
Yeah. And look, for folks that thought, well, there will be stability in 90 days because Trump's going to give us 90 deals in 90 days. I've got a farm to sell you. Actually, a lot of farms that I could sell.
And I got a bridge to sell you.
Yeah, exactly. Sean O'Malley, thank you so much as always. Take care. We'll talk to you next week.
All right.
I can't make up this next item any better as I make the transition here to Joe Zepecki. Joe, during the break, I was monitoring the Courier Newsroom Slack conversation. And we're always coming up with different, you know, newsletters and podcasts and other things. And in one of our states, they are about to release their new podcast. And the note here says, you know, shooting an episode of the Oh God, Now What podcast. And I sent a note. I'm like, please tell me that's the actual name. And they're like, yep, it is. So be looking for the Oh God, Now What podcast coming real soon. I think that's the official greatest podcast name of 2025.
The Crisis Core movement is strong.
It is. I mean, come on. There's so much here. And Joe, I really sincerely apologize that we're starting the way that we're starting, because there's all these other things with the state budget we can go to and everything. But I just want to bounce off of you the whole notion of what this Jeffrey Epstein thing is. And we're not getting into the case because, again, these are victims who deserve justice and they've been caught up in politics. But the fact that Trump is now going so hard after his base, calling his voters stupid for believing the Epstein hoax when he and others were the ones who built this thing up and said there's this cabal of Democratic pedophiles and everything. And now when it's time to put up or shut up, once again, he relies on that word hoax. I just wanted to know from your strategist standpoint, is this the straw that breaks the back of people in MAGA world that go, they voted for Trump because they were disenchanted by other politicians. Now to them, does he come off as just another politician?
Yeah, this is a real political problem for Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. You cannot, I got to watch my words here. You cannot urinate on someone's leg and tell them it's raining. For 10 years, Donald Trump has promised transparency, has said that they would release all the files on Epstein, on JFK's assassination, on aliens at Area 51, on 9/11, on January 6th, on the pandemic. He said he was going to shake things up and tell people what really happened. And now he is demonstrating to the world that he thinks his own voters are stupid. And he will never apologize for that. So I would like to apologize to anyone who voted for Donald Trump expecting him to be different. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you got duped and that he doesn't think you're smart enough to see what is happening here. When the Attorney General of the United States says, the Epstein files are on my desk, I'm reviewing them right now. And then a couple months later, they go, what files? There's no files. This is a five-alarm fire within the magosphere. And a thing that my friend Bill McCashin and I, he's a Republican, but we agree on this wholeheartedly. Politics is about addition. If you want to win, if you want to make change, you have to add people to your coalition. And since he was sworn in on January 20th, President Donald Trump has been practicing the politics of subtraction. This is only the most recent and only the most glaring and insulting to his own voters example. There's something going on here, and shame on every House Republican who every single time they've had an opportunity to force the release of these things, they have voted to continue the cover-up. It's shameful.
Which takes us to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel article by Lawrence Andrea. The headline is Ron Johnson and Wisconsin Republicans at odds with Trump over release of the Epstein case documents. And Ron Johnson says it's a bizarre situation. He says something doesn't smell right. Derek Van Orden says he wants, quote, every bit of evidence to be released. Tom Tiffany saying information on Epstein should be released so the public can decide what they think of it. And yet, when Van Orden and Tiffany and others, other House Republicans, were told, all right, here's a chance to do that, they didn't do that.
And for listeners who haven't been following, there have been a number of votes this week in the House of Representatives. It's the White House and Republicans were calling it Crypto Week. And Democrats, led by Ro Khanna, attached amendments or attempted to attach amendments saying, release the files, redact the victims' names so that they are not re-victimized and re-traumatized, but everything else should come out, and every single House Republican, save for one, not from Wisconsin, I think it was an Oklahoma Republican, voted to continue the cover-up. And to do that within the same 10-day time period where we learn that there's a like 2.5 to 3 minute gap in the video that they released, Ron Johnson is right in saying that something doesn't smell right. Where he's wrong is he gets to do something. Like, isn't he some big shot on his GAC?
He's the always talking about investigations. Right. He does investigations all the time.
So stop listening to what MAGA and the right say and start watching what they do, because they're saying one thing and doing another. In this case, they are doing Donald Trump's dirty work for him and continuing to cover this up. I want to add one other thing to this, because it's the timing on it is just like absurd. They fired the prosecutor in the Southern District of New York this week who prosecuted the Epstein, Ghislaine Maxwell cases, and it's James Comey's daughter. This is like MAGA Mad Libs triple Yahtzee conspiracy theory stuff come to life. Oh, what are they hiding? And so this is a problem and it will remain a problem. And I apologize to the voters who were duped by Donald Trump, who he thinks are apparently idiots.
Yeah. I mean, again, bring it back to justice for the victims and not playing political games. While we're talking about Ron Johnson and Donald Trump, let's turn to another Lawrence Andrea story along with Dan Bice from the Journal Sentinel about how in the way it's supposed to work is Ron Johnson and Tammy Baldwin, when there are judgeship openings, you know, they will work on presenting a list of recommendations to the president, whoever is president at the time. And they were in the midst of doing that with an upcoming vacancy on the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, only to find out that Trump and White House officials have already started interviewing some conservative Wisconsin candidates on their own. And according to a White House spokesman, we welcome the feedback from outside groups, but the final determination is from the president after consultation with senior staff. We welcome feedback from outside groups like the United States Senate.
Yeah, outside groups. Listen, I believe it's now 13 years or so that Tammy Baldwin and Ron Johnson have been our United States senators. Mm-hmm. And during that time, there have been real disputes between Johnson and Baldwin about these lists, about this blue slip process. The fact that they have figured it out and have gotten to a place where the two of them, and remember how far apart on the political spectrum Tammy Baldwin and Ron Johnson are, that they can say, here are five acceptable names to look at, that matters. Like, that means it is a vetted, good list of people with qualifications. I'm sure there are people who Tammy Baldwin does not, you know, align with ideologically, but when you have Ron Johnson and Tammy Baldwin saying anybody from this list of five, go off of that list of five. This doesn't have to be very complicated.
Oh, unless you're looking for the, it's all loyalty test, and whoever can be the most loyal to Trump will do that. Contrast what Tammy Baldwin and Ron Johnson are doing with Derek Van Orden and Mark Pocan, where Derek Van Orden interrupted a Mark Pocan presser, revving his motorcycle as he goes past, and then starts charging the microphone and insulting Mark Pocan, and it was all captured by the Spectrum One News. And just again, Derek Van Orden doing Derek Van Orden things. Such a contrast.
And here's what I think is getting missed in this, and is actually the most important point of it. The interview that Van Orden decided to disrupt was a joint interview between Democrat Mark Pocan and Republican Tony Weed, who represents the 8th Congressional District. So here you have another example where you have political opponents, one from the left and one from the right, finding common ground on something and doing an interview about it and disagreeing agreeably and demonstrating the way we want this to work. And Derek Van Orden is so far out of the limits of the universe. Like, the guy is out of this world nuts, and he has to come and disrupt the interview and make stuff up about Mark Pocan, saying he's never worked a day in his life. Mark Pocan has owned a small business for more than 30 years. Like, here we go. Just once again, insulting people who work for a living, just making it up. DVO has got to go. He's out of control.
It is what he does. Joe Zepecki is with us. A local update is next for some of you. Others will come back here for some final news and notes from Lake Wissota, along with Joe. Remember, you can follow my team at Up North News all day long through our newsletters, social media, our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and of course, right here, mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
As you know, you can hear this show weekday morning 6 to 9 across the Civic Media Radio Network, 10 stations now across Wisconsin. We're so glad to have you along. But you can also catch us on social media. You can watch us making the sausage on the YouTube channels of Civic Media or Up North News and the Facebook pages of Civic Media or Up North News, or my own politics page, facebook.com/mornings with Pat Kreitlow. I also put together a weekend newsletter called Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Bet you didn't see that coming, where we talk about the week in politics. There is always a question of the week. The question this week, a bit of the Mamdani effect in the New York City mayor's race. There was a spirited primary yesterday or day before yesterday in Southern Arizona, where you had, again, upstarts, insurgents in the Democratic Party ranks. So, is a leftward shift by Democrats, is that a refreshing change? Or is it going to turn off moderates and cost Democrats in 2026? Or is it a big tent and there's room for everybody? Or are you a Republican and you're just here with a box of popcorn? Whatever it is, if you subscribe to our newsletter, you can respond there or send us an email, radio@upnorthnewswi.com, and tell us what you think. Is a leftward shift just right? Joe Zepecki had run for state party chair. He's not doing that anymore. He doesn't have to watch his words. He can say whatever the heck he wants. So, Joe, question of the week. Is there room in the Democratic Party for people that want to be more AOC, Bernie Sanders, and those who want to be much more centrist, I guess the word is?
Yes. Not only is there has to be. Mm-hmm. We are an enormous country with people who think all kinds of different things, and trying to force the Democratic Party to be a monolith is an appetite or is a recipe for losing. We talked about it a little earlier. Politics is about addition. And the notion that we're going to have cookie cutter candidates who fit some DC consultant's worldview of what the ideal, you know, makeup of the Democratic Party is wrong. We are the pro-democracy party, so let's let democracy play out. And you know what? In Manhattan and Madison, you're going to get Democrats that are different than Southern Arizona or Texas. And that's okay. That's how it should be. And what Democrats can't do is become the Republican Party, where it's all just governed by what Donald Trump says goes, whether it's covering up the Jeffrey Epstein stuff, whether it is cutting $1 trillion from Medicaid, and then pretending it didn't happen or trying to undo it or saying, boy, I'm really not happy with the vote I just passed, or I oppose, you know, some provision of the bill that you just voted for. That's what Republicans are doing. Let's not be like Republicans. Let's have the entire range of ideologies within the left broadly represented in our nominees and in our party, full stop.
So related to that, and this is, again, a little awkward because, again, I run for office, and I know that there were at times rumblings of primaries, and I thankfully did not have to go through that. But that doesn't mean that you should always try to squash any ideas of, you know, primaries being held. And there are already some rumblings in some legislative districts about Democratic primaries potentially next year. And whether those should be discouraged, encouraged, left alone, whatever, I would simply point to the fact that we just had a good, clean race for state party chair. We've had primaries for governor before. If Governor Evers doesn't run, we're going to have a big primary field again. A primary is not something, you know, maybe it gives party leaders a little bit of heartburn, but like you said, the only antidote for democracy is more democracy.
Yeah, you can't be the you can't claim to be the pro-democracy party and then not practice it. Mm-hmm. And let's talk about it. Let's talk about what's happening in the 17th Senate district, where you apparently have Democrats in Madison who think they know best and are trying to pick a nominee before the voters have weighed in. Why do you have to do that in July when there's 13 months before the primary election? There's no reason for that. There's energy out there right now. Let candidates go out there, run, you know, get better at being candidates and harness some of this enthusiasm. And I say all that knowing full well the calculus might change, mm-hmm. right? When nomination papers get taken out next May or June, right, which is what, 8 months from now? Okay, maybe there's some candidates who haven't caught fire, who haven't been able to demonstrate an ability to raise resources, which means they're not connecting with voters. The context might be different then, but the idea that in July, the year, you know, more than a year before a primary next year, we're going to pick winners and losers and tell people to sit down and be quiet and that they can't run, I'm sorry, that's absurd.
And that's not, by the way, just that one state Senate district in Southwest Wisconsin, but also we're going to find out later today that there is a new state Senate candidate in the Milwaukee metro area, a potential for a primary there. There are three Democrats announced right now who want to challenge Derek Van Orden in the 3rd Congressional District. And so I think we need to do exactly what you said, is have this discussion well in advance that primaries are fine. There are some primaries that go horribly sideways. But if the alternative is to not have primaries at all, then I don't want any part of it. But you've got like Bill Berrien, this candidate for governor, who's already running, you know, $400,000 TV buys, and $1 million of his $1.2 million came from the Winklevoss twins or something. There's no guarantee we're going to know Bill Berrien's name in August of next year.
Correct. I think the plural is Winklevi.
Winklevi, yes. Yeah. Sorry, I should have gotten that right. So much to come. Joe Zepecki is going to help us follow it all with our great thanks, as always. You got any good weekend plan here?
We've got basketball in Wisconsin Dells.
Ooh, okay. Road Warrior. I like it. All right.
And I got to go to Red Rocks for the first time earlier this week. It was amazing. Eric Church.
Oh, perfect. All right. Have a good start to the weekend. We'll talk to you later.
See ya.
All right. Again, tomorrow, our Week in Review panel, Kristen Lierley, Mike Clemens, and more. My thanks to Senator Jeff Smith, Corrine Hendrickson, Joe Zepecki, Sean O'Malley, Chad Holmes, Todd Alba, and Sherita Booker. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Have a great Thursday. We'll see you tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. here up north.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.